Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' nightmarish 43-17 loss to the Miami Dolphins. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, if somebody told you that the final score of the 49ers-Dolphins game was 43-17, you might have believed them, but I don't know that you would believe that the Dolphins were the winner of that game. It was shocking. It was disappointing. Really, it was disastrous for the 49ers. What were your overall thoughts of the game?
Not good. Not sure that anybody played well. I mean, I'm sure some coach had a position player that played well, but offensive line didn't play well. We didn't run the ball well. We didn't throw the ball well. We didn't catch the ball well. We didn't defend on the edge, on the corner, against their receivers very well. The Dolphins played better than we did. That's the bottom line.
No doubt about that. I think the thing I'm going to remember most about this game is the early part of it, Steve, because Brian Allen at cornerback, it just wasn't working out. And to see Ryan Fitzpatrick just go after him, play after play after play. I mean, any quarterback that has any experience at all, I guess, would do that, right?
Yeah, in hindsight, even during the game, that was obviously their game plan, because they went right after him from the first throw, the young rookie for the Dolphins looked terrific, and he's got some good size, got some good length. They went right after Allen from the get-go.
Yeah, Preston Williams.
Williams.
Yeah, had a great game, 106 yards.
Yeah.
And, you could tell that Allen, even when he was covering receivers well, he was overmatched. I mean, he just couldn't get around the receiver to try to deflect the ball.
Yeah, the first deep ball down the left side there, he had the guy in perfect position. I mean, he was in perfect position. Had he just played the ball like he was a receiver, he probably intercepts it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a step ahead of Williams. Feeling him on his hip, he's in perfect position. But he gets himself twisted around when he starts to look for the receiver. I think it just kind of went downhill from there, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you had to feel bad for the guy. I mean, because some of his coverage, it seems like it wasn't bad, but you're having plays like that or a pass interference that eventually leads to a touchdown, it was all on him.
Yeah, and I'm gonna give credit to Fitzpatrick, being a veteran quarterback. He's gonna, a good quarterback's gonna throw a ball. You even to a covered receiver that makes the defensive back be wrong, no matter how well he's covered. So I have to give some credit to Fitzpatrick for making some of the throws that he did, because he looked terrific.
Yeah, I want to talk about him a little bit, because I think a lot of people are underestimating what Fitzmagic is all about. Because, I mean, this guy, it's the experience, it's the grit, it's the ability to get away from people. It's, you know, really the wisdom that he has as a quarterback. Steve, I know you've seen that before, and you've been around a long time. You played a long time NFL, and you followed this game so well. When you see a guy like that, what's your reaction?
That's irreplaceable. That experience, that time around the game. You know, he's played for a bunch of different teams, and good teams, bad teams. Played with a lot of different people, obviously. All those, you know, been around a lot of offenses, a lot of coaches, just taking all that knowledge in for what I think he's been in the league for 17 years. So it's fun to watch him manage. I know that people don't like that word, but just manage the game, distribute the ball, put the ball in the right places, and he's got some good young receivers. During the telecast, the commentators, they were making fun of his pregame routine, you know, going out, sitting on the bench, almost like, hey, you know, have a cigarette and a cup of coffee before the game, you know, the way it used to be when I was a rookie.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch him play. Obviously brought a lot of experience to a very young offense.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They are a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
But as far as the 49ers are concerned right now, this is, I mean, I don't want to say a full-blown disaster, but this is really difficult because we'll talk about the schedule later, how difficult that's going to be. But right now, where this team is right now, and we'll start at the quarterback position. We'll get to the offensive line too. But let's start at the quarterback position, because Jimmy Garoppolo, some people are saying, you know, was it the ankle and this and that? I thought, Steve, watching him early, that he looked healthy. I thought his ankle was okay. What did you think of that and, you know, just the way he played?
I don't think he was ready with some of those balls. The way the ball was sailing on him, he wasn't able to get any leverage off his right leg, off his right ankle, right foot. Now he doesn't use his right leg leverage like traditionally, I guess, more of a follow through kind of leg in, you know, right leg in the air on your push off. But he does have to use it because he does use his hips well on his throws, and that's what, you know, that's what helps his quick release. But I watching him and watching the balls that he was throwing, everything was high. He couldn't get off that right side.
So maybe it's part of that, but was part of it, you think, rust too?
I mean, a couple weeks. I mean, okay, maybe because you didn't have much of a preseason. You didn't have any preseason games, obviously. And then playing a couple weeks, then not playing a couple weeks. Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I'll say a little bit, but I think one, he's not completely healthy, but he's going to have to play with it. Not that CJ can't play because he looks good. But I think the biggest part of it right now is the offensive line is not playing well.
Not at all.
Trent Williams is allowing. They've figured out something with him that they're just kind of bull rushing him to start, and then kind of that, you know, grab and then throw where they're getting inside of his arms, inside of his length. But going to you a little bit of the same thing. I don't know, just in general. I mean, I point out both of them, but offensive line I just don't think they're playing that well.
No, I mean, they even had a mix-up that one time when Jimmy G, I think, took a sack when Trent Williams and Laken Tomlinson were confused. I mean, that kind of stuff's happening.
Well, and that's all the way out to Trent Williams on that one sack. Actually, that was later in the game. That was on CJ, where the guy, the one I'm thinking of, was on that third, where the guy rushed right up the middle. That in that situation, everybody's got to come down. You got to take your inside gap, cover it, and let the outside guy be free, because it gives the quarterback, you know, a split second longer to get rid of the ball. I'm trying to remember which one on Jimmy. The hit on the hit. You're the one you're talking about.
I'm thinking in the first quarter. Yeah,
the hit from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he had, if I remember correctly, they had a stunt going out there. I'd have to see that one again to remember exactly how, that was a game that's on the coaches. That one, that was Dooley trying to block that defensive end.
Okay.
On that hit, on Jimmy G, I think, I mean, you know, tight end can grab that guy for a split second, but that's a mismatch. You don't want a tight end blocking a defense, you know, an edge rusher on the backside.
I mean, the bottom line is you can't allow 5 sacks. I mean, that's going to hurt.
No.
You know, I mean, your team has 0 sacks, the Niners defense. And their team has 5. That right there is telling you something. And the Niners were facing a lot of third and longs, too. I mean, they're not doing so well on first and second downs.
No, they're not. And that's, they're not, you know, they're not running the ball as well as they have, or as they did last year, for sure. Now, it helps to get Mostert back. Maybe shows a little bit of how valuable Breida was last year with his kind of 1-2 punch with his speed.
Yeah.
But you really saw
showed his it.
Speed on Sunday.
Yeah, you
yeah.
did.
But yeah, I just we're not yeah, what the stat they gave during the game was that we've been in, our average third down is 8.5 yards the longest of any team in the league.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, not good. You know, anything seven plus is percentages are down. And at one point, I don't know. I didn't even look to see what we were overall on third and fourth down. But at one point, we were 1 for 8 on third and fourth down.
Well, I ended up 2 for 10 on third, 0 for 2 on fourth, so 2 for 12 overall.
Yeah, you're not gonna win football games doing that.
Well, part of that too, Steve. I mean, I questioned that fourth and one call in the first quarter when they went to McKinnon. I just don't think he's a short yardage guy. What do you think?
I liked going for it.
Yeah, I liked going for it for sure.
Once he went to shotgun and you got a single back in the backfield and you're going to try and run up the middle, no, bad call. That's on Kyle.
You say under center, right? Yeah.
They should have gone, and this is something that we did with Kyle's dad, Shanahan. He did it all the time with Elway. You get in that, you know you're going to go for it on fourth down. You miss it by, you miss it by a yard or half a yard. You're right away on the ball going Peter, it's quarterback sneak before they can get set and get the first down. And I thought that's what he was doing. But then when Jimmy G backed out, I was like, no, this is not good. And it's too hard to run up the middle without a blocking back.
Yeah,
you know, single back in the backfield, and they had. I'm going to say they had 8 guys in the box. That was bad. I liked the decision to go for it, but that was a bad play call.
The thing is, Steve, I agree with you wholeheartedly because you don't have the option now of the quarterback sneak once you go into a shotgun. And to me, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would think more times than not, you're going to get the first down with a good quarterback sneak. I mean, that usually seems to be the play. Now you've taken away that option when you're in the shotgun.
Yeah. And when you've totally taken it away. When Jimmy G backed out, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to, run a read option. He's actually going to keep it and try and get to the edge. But then I'm like, no, he's not going to do that. He doesn't have a healthy ankle. So as soon as he backed out, I was like, oh, this is not good.
Not good.
No, it was not good. And then we went for it. The other one might have been late in the game, the other fourth down.
When it was out of reach by that point.
Yeah, we had to go for it. Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me, too, Steve, that the Niners need to get Deebo Samuel the ball more often. They only got it to him a couple times. There was that one 15-yard play. It was nice. You roll to the left. You throw it to him. He's got room. That guy can make things happen. They couldn't get him the ball. I mean, they just, there were too many missed chances there. And like you said, I mean, maybe Jimmy G's not throwing well off his right foot. I mean, he threw that one interception where he's trying to hit McKinnon, and he was covered. I mean, he just threw right into coverage.
Yeah. Late, even though that wasn't down the middle, kind of late, almost down the middle, is never a good thing. I think we never got into a rhythm. We didn't keep drives alive because we were 2 for 12 on third and fourth down.
Yeah.
So it seemed like, my wife commented, like, how come they're not throwing the ball to Kittle? Because they weren't in rhythm and they weren't keeping drives alive, there wasn't, get the ball to Kittle, get the ball to Deebo, get the ball to Ayuk. But then there was also some pretty good throws, not great throws, that were dropped.
That doesn't help either. Yeah.
There were a few balls that were dropped, like, okay, you have to make that catch. I mean, not a perfect ball, but definitely within arm's reach, hitting both hands. You have to make that catch. So we didn't play winning football. It's just the bottom line.
And there was a lot of optimism coming in, Steve, because you had a lot of these healthy players on offense anyway, where Jimmy G's coming back and Mostert. Honestly, I thought Mostert actually looked pretty good. He had that one long run.
Did.
He didn't have a ton of carries because they fell behind and they were throwing the ball. But when he did get the ball, he had some pretty good bursts.
He did. I agree. And there were a couple times I thought, oh, he's out of the pack. But, you know, didn't quite happen. But, he does such a good job of getting up inside of that second level and then bouncing it. Now, that's, you know, those good runs that he has, or the running back, or whoever the running back is, that's offensive line. I mean, that's the blocking, you know, setting up the hole. So, not that, you know, we said the offensive line hasn't played that well. They haven't really pass protected that well, but they did open some holes, but we just didn't ever seem to get in our rhythm because we didn't maintain drives.
49ers Extra continues in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. What did you think of the decision to pull Jimmy G at the half? I mean, the explanation is that I'm trying to keep him safe. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I thought it was a smart move. I actually commented when the first half was over. I commented to Tina. I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts CJ in the second half. Didn't surprise me. I thought his reasoning was the right thing to say, even though in my mind that puts the onus on Kyle, which is fine. That okay, maybe made a bad decision to start him. That I thought he was healthy, but he didn't play like he was. And again, we didn't exactly protect him perfectly. My conclusion was he was not that he needed to be 100%, but I would say he wasn't 75% the way he was throwing the ball.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And I'm blaming that on that he just couldn't fire his hips because of his right ankle.
Yeah, and I'll take what you're saying, and I like to hear that because I know with your experience that you can really kind of get that feeling of what a quarterback's going through in that situation. I'll throw in a little bit of what I said. Maybe there's a little bit of rust there. I mean, yeah, it's not that many games, but he hadn't practiced with anybody, you know, so there's maybe that. So there's two things going on there. But to me, I mean, he's still my quarterback. That's the thing. There are a lot of fans out there that are ready to pull the plug, and to me, he's still my quarterback.
No, he's the starting quarterback. There's no question about that. And we have some, and Kyle has the luxury of being able to do what he did at the end of the first half and pull him out because we have two good backup quarterbacks. I mean, both of them are capable of winning games. I understand that Nick struggled, you know, a week and a half, two games ago, but he's definitely somebody that knows how to play the game and can win football games. And CJ, he looks really good to me right now. I mentioned last week, I like the way he changed his release, changed his arm angle. I like what I see, and I'm happy for him. Just like I said last week, for everything that he's gone through.
So he's your backup now, right? I mean, for the time being,
I think so.
Drop behind, yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I think he is, when there is a change, I think he's a little more similar to Jimmy G than Nick is. You know, so you just in the way he delivers the ball and the way he's in the pocket.
How about the cornerbacks? I mean, yeah, we talked about Allen and just these injuries. Emmanuel Mosley and Richard Sherman being out now. I mean, it's looking larger and larger. You thought maybe they could sort of get away with it, but it just didn't work there with Allen. And then Witherspoon, you know, he wasn't playing, then he was playing. There was the whole story about his hamstring.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing right now as to how this team goes forward with their cornerbacks, you know? I mean, that's going to be a huge story going forward if they can – you know, get some players back healthy, and the players that are out there, you know, now, how are they going to play?
Yeah. I thought when Witherspoon was in there later in the game, he was in position. He did have the one pass interference call, and it was definitely pass interference, but he was right there. He just seems to me to need some more experience in just finishing that play. I mean, he had his hand, I mean, he was draped all over the guy, but it seems like he can run with the receivers. He's big enough to play with a big, you know, play against a big receiver like Williams from the Dolphins. And Allen's he's not far off either. I mean, like I said, that first deep ball that they got on him, he was the receiver. He was in the best position than the receiver. He just got twisted around at the end, and that's learning to, same with Erskine, that's learning to finish the play. You know, make the play at the end. You're in perfect position, and I think that's just the inexperience. It's going to be hard on the defense overall, in that Salas, you know, he's used to not having to blitz because we had such a good pass rush with DeForest and Bosa and Armstead and Ford and, you know, Dolly Subbing and you know, some of these other guys, but now and the defensive line might still be the position on the defense that's, I was going to say playing the best, but the linebackers are playing pretty darn good. But the defensive line is. My point is that they're playing well, but I don't know if they can get home like the, you know, those other four or five guys can without the help of a extra guy here and there.
Right.
You know, a fifth rusher. But then that fifth rusher puts pressure on those corners to have to play man free.
And they're getting exposed.
You can have Jaworski back there, you know, roaming in center field. But those corners and a slot cover guy, you know, have to be able to run man to man with their receiver, and that if you don't get home, especially someone like Fitzpatrick with his experience, he's gonna eat you up.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are getting exposed. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to clean that up for sure, because this schedule, you know, we talked about it. For those of you who haven't really, you know, memorized it, okay, Rams coming up this Sunday on Sunday Night Football, Goff, you know, 4-1 team, then Patriots, Seahawks, 5-0, Russell Wilson looks like the MVP, then Packers, Saints in New Orleans, then Rams again, then Bills, another playoff-type team. I mean, this is just, you can't draw up a more difficult schedule.
I think they gave the stats of those six five teams because the Rams are in there twice,
right.
Six games. 19-5 is the combined record right now.
Right.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, we when the schedule came out, we knew it was like, whoa, look at this stretch. now it's even harder, but some guys are going to have to, step up. Those DBs that we just talked about, some of those receivers, Ayuk, Debo, Kendrick, obviously, Kittle will be there. And the biggest, we got to get the running game going. Running game has to go because that's your best offense and your best defense.
The talent is there, though, Steve, isn't it? I mean, I'm looking at it going, this team should score 30-plus points a game.
It's definitely there. It's just not in, rhythm the last couple weeks. Changes, obviously, personnel and Kyle's, he's, I'm sure he's scrambling a little bit, trying to get these guys the ball. But it's just not working the same because you don't have everybody.
Right.
He's trying to figure out his people, his personnel, because there are changes every week.
Well, everything's going to have to get figured out pretty fast with that schedule we talked about. And by the way, before we go, I don't know if you watched the Sunday night game, but what a decision by the Vikings and Coach Zimmer to go for it on 4th-and-1 and not get it and give Russell Wilson a chance to drive right down the field and then win the game. And that's why the Seahawks are 5-0. I mean, I would have kicked a field goal there, but they went for it, tried to win the game there. I don't know.
Yeah. I did see it. I actually remember thinking, oh, this is a good move.
They were running the ball well. I will say that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those, nowadays in the way that offenses can gash you with big plays just because the game is so, the game is so wide open. I think that people need to go for it a little bit more, and not kick field goals. I'm sure Dabo Sweeney would agree with me today, but he went for the field goal, whatever it was, 61, and it got blocked and run back for a touchdown. they still won, but there's more going for it because you. Offensively, you need to hang on to it to not give it back to a Russell Wilson or Drew Brees. I mean, any of those guys, Brees, Brady, Rodgers. The game is so wide open. They just gash you and can go 60 yards and, four plays.
So you want to put the game away. I guess I understand that. But
yeah.
But they would have had an 8-point lead, so you're making him score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Yeah.
No, you're right. In that situation, yeah. I mean, you got an 8-point lead. Yeah, kick the field goal, make it a 3-score game because you still have to go for two.
And I only bring that up because now the Seahawks are 5-0. They're in, another game in front of the 49ers because of winning that. Was upsetting, I think, to 49ers fans, but got to take care of your own business first. And there's a lot of business to take care of, as we said, Steve.
There's plenty of good football that's in front of them right now.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, Steve. Well, look forward to talking about it next week. Look forward to playing some golf with you this week. TPC Harding Park, our sponsor. Yeah, and
Harding. One of my favorite places to play, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. All right, Steve. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week. We'll talk about the 49ers game against the Rams. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.